Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Fabulous. Give someone a high five. You can take seats. You guys can take seats as well. I shared last week, it's called Up Close and Personal. It's online on our podcast on Spotify and on iTunes, and it was Sacred Apologies. And part of that is the restoration of putting things back in order in Hope City Church that ought to have been in order for a long time. But it's me putting things in order. Firstly, I'm restoring the honor that ought to be given to every person on the bench and every person on whose shoulders we have climbed to get to this point. And if there's one generation that is an utterly dishonoring generation, it's this one. And you know, if we allow that to come into the church, God will do nothing if we live with a spirit of dishonor within this church. There's people that have worked their backsides off for generations, and also if there's seasons in this church that are currently either dead or on the bench, and we ought to honor them, respect them, thank God for them, and realize that we are on the shoulders of giants here. Let's bring honor back into Hope City Church. You know, we're restoring the dignity of older people in our church. You know, the best days for every older person in this church are just around the corner. Nobody's expired. The best is yet to come for every person, because God's ways spiral upwards. And a lot of older people in Hope City Church have felt a little bit redundant, a little bit marginalized, a little bit uncelebrated. That has to stop. It's not just because I'm getting older. I'm not just setting myself up for glory and celebrity. It's got to stop in our church. You cannot dishonor age. Honoring elders, honoring those that are more experienced. The dissipation of young ego, it needs to be taken from us. That we need to bring honor and respect back in a Hope City Church. Connections between all generations, because we're not just a multi-site church, we're a multi-generational church. That's the old people clapping just then. You know, we want to be the most successful, diverse church in all of Western civilization. It's never been done before. Historically, in the world, each nation had their church. Historically, in Britain, the diversity has never been done before in the whole of Great Britain. And we're the church of God to do it successfully, to do it prophetically, to do it systematically, and to do it in a way that we show the way for what is the new Great Britain, what is the new Western civilization, to create successful diversity where not one person feels lesser to the other. We're here to equalize it. Not just to survive, but we're here to thrive together. We're here to bring back the hit factory. There's not enough young people being risen up to take on the world for Jesus Christ. We're here to restore the hit factory of young people coming out from worldliness, coming out from the system of worldly success and saying, God, I am absolutely yours. Everything about me is dedicated to you. I want to bring that back. May I say that you know, Jen and I traveled 28 years ago, traveled from Australia to England, back to my motherland, not Jen's, but my motherland, in order to establish a world-changing church. Let me prophesy, there are people in this room right now, that you'll go back to your father's land, you'll go back to your motherland and create a church of freedom that you're experiencing today that will rock the nations and plant churches across the nations. It's not good enough to say, this is it. I'm in a nice, comfortable environment. I've made it. Some of you need to go back to your uncomfortable environment.
Jen and I did it. We left a revival nation, a nation that is just moving in the Spirit of God, pulsating with large churches, with new generational churches. We left it to come to the heartlands of the north of England. Why do we do that? So you can leave it eventually. So that you can go back to the heartlands of wherever you've come from, whatever is your motherland. Some of you need to eventually stop running away from it. Need to turn to it. So I'm now filled with power. I'm now filled with freedom. I'm going back into it. I'm going to create myself one of the greatest churches of all time with the same spirit that's in Hope City Church. That's destiny. We want to restore sacrifice. We want to restore humility. We want to restore true greatness in the Spirit of God. We want to bring back the anointing of God. We want to get our house in order. We're trying to do it together. I'm trying to do it. Last week was a pitiful attempt of me trying to do it. Because God's about to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Otherwise, what's He mucking around with? May as well be dead. He's about to pour out His Spirit on you. You're going to be totally transformed. Unrecognizable in Nedo Hall. Because people think it looks like you, but the Spirit's not you. It's because I got the house in order. And God poured out His Spirit on all flesh. God only sets fire to altars. And altars are places of humility and sacrifice. If you're stuck up, there ain't no flames. If you surrender your life, sacrifice your life, surrender to Christ, that's where Christ burns. And He only puts new wine in new wineskins. And new wineskins, you need to get a new skin. It needs to be flexible. You need to get a new skin. It needs to be updated. It needs to be a skin that's alive, a skin that's moldable to what God's about to do, not what God's done. I don't want to hear stories of yesteryear too much, but what God's about to do. We need to mold something now for which God will fill in a few days' time. He pours new wine, that's a new move of the Spirit of God, into new wineskins. This is how Colossians puts it. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your house in order. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. And that's not just the second coming. That's the second moving of the Spirit of God. When He appears, you'll appear in glory. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Just stop lying to each other. Since you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, black or white. But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other Whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And everybody said, come on, that's the word of God. That's setting a house in order. That's going to take some massive moving of some tables. Some cupboards in your life are in the wrong place. Some carpets are in the wrong place. Something's going to have to change. Because Colossians says change. Why? Well, back in those days, to sustain a dramatic move of God. In our days, to create a dramatic move of God. Today, we're going to bring faith back. We're going to bring the ability to believe in stuff you cannot see. This is faith without the feels. I'm a bit sick of the word feels. Like we feel it. What on earth has faith got to do with feeling? Can I answer that? Nothing! In actual fact, faith should exist and thrive when you feel horrible. Stop describing the wrong thing. Somehow we've given ourselves permission to be miserable and to describe our misery. It's a part of relationship, but it's not part of thriving. When are you going to start describing the faith life and describing what you see in the Spirit and describing what the Word of God says about your condition? When are you going to start exchanging moaning for the bigging up of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on, let's bring faith back. You're too carnal, too worldly, too descriptive. We need a faith that says, if God said it, then I believe it. Scrap the feels. If God said it, then I believe it. I want to cleanse this house of the dustiness of doubt. It's too dusty. To get the Dyson out. Get the Dyson of faith out. Start sucking up the dustiness of doubt. You never let your house get so dusty as your heart. You want to put your heart over house and start to get yourself ready for the greatest move of God we've ever seen in Hope City Church. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will live by faith. You know, faith's not, it's not a hotel. Faith's a residence. Not visiting faith. I'm living there forever. I'm never coming out of faith because the righteous shall live by faith. Got 4 points. Number one, it's our hallmark. It's our tattoo. If you're going to get a tattoo of faith. Let you be known. When people see you, let them see the tattoo on your heart of faith. What's the point of being cool and trendy if you're miserable and doubtful on the inside? Let's get our tattoos right. Let's tattoo our heart first before you tattoo your grandmother on your shoulder second. Jesus declared in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's by faith the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Some of you who are trying to fall pregnant, it's by faith that Sarah, at 90 years of age, that she got pregnant. It's by faith that Goliath fell. Nothing else. It wasn't because David was good. It's because David believed. It's by faith that Jen and I came 10,000 miles to the north of England from sunny, beautiful Brisbane. 10,000 miles here. It's by faith we're still here. And it's by faith that we're still faith-filled. After like 28 years, this is faith in action. It's by faith people get healed. It's by faith that Siobhan and Steve left to go to Frankfurt, a place they've never been before. It's by faith that Joel and Emma went to Kuala Lumpur, a place they've never, ever lived in before. It's by faith that the heroes have left our shores and done something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith that in 1997, Jen and I sold our house, tossed it upside down, shaked out the profits of that house in the middle of recession, and gave that to the dream offering of 1997. God wants to bring back a heart of mercy to us. So we're not just thinking about our own paneled houses. We're thinking about the lives of the broken and the marginalized. That's what Waverly's about. That's what the dream offering is about. To create 7 vision centers. To restore people from the lowlands of brokenness to the highlands of wholeness. That's a restoration that God wants to do. A restoration of mercy. It's just us. This is you. Keep the feels to Radio 1. It's where we change. We're about faith. I believe it. No questions asked. Ask them, but I'm moving away from you. Faith's the currency. If you get rid of that currency, you get rid of everything rich in your life. You might have a great time now, but it will not last without faith. Faith is your currency and it's lassoed to your future. If you disown faith today, then you're disowning your future tomorrow. It's our tattoo. Secondly, it's our access. It accesses power. Romans 5 verse 2 says, through whom we've gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. Faith carries an access card, all access card, to the grace of God. If you want to get into the power of God, His provision, then you get in by an access card. It's all backstage. It's not in the third dimension. This is in the fourth dimension. And there is a door. And the door to the fourth dimension of God only opens to believe. It's closed to everything else. It opens to belief. Faith opens doors, defeats Goliath, raises the dead, and heals the sick. Faith's our inner confidence that God is who He says He is, that we are who He says we are, and He'll do what He said He'll do. So inner confidence is your greatest asset. Okay, let me cut to the chase and say, you don't need more money. You just need the all-access card. You don't need healing. So you're barking up the wrong tree. Oh, I need healing. You kind of do. But what you need is the all-access card. What you need is the Dyson of faith sucking up the dust of doubt. That's what you need. Some people, oh, I need a breakthrough. Yeah, we all need a breakthrough. But that's secondary. Because the breakthrough is attached to faith. It's by faith that we access the grace of God. So the thing that accesses the grace of God, which is your breakthrough, is faith. What you need is faith. You don't need more faith, just less doubt. Once you've got faith, you're like a lottery winner. Someone with a winning ticket. Now you can forget about the ticket. You can lose the ticket. You know, you cannot present the ticket within the time span you ought to present the ticket. But the ticket is as good as millions. Because the moment you're a winner, nothing's changed except you've turned into a winner because you've got the winning ticket. And the ticket of faith in your pocket right now, in the pocket of your heart, is the most valuable possession that you could ever possess. The obtaining of faith through the Word of God is the most valuable thing you could ever obtain because it's attached to a better marriage. It's attached to a marriage. It's attached to children. It's attached to provision. It's attached to breakthrough. It's attached to multiplication and miracles. Multiplication and miracles. It's attached to that what you need. Stop your complaining. What you need is faith and less doubt because it accesses power. Once you get it, you want to prize it, protect it, and present it. I rarely give examples. This is like an illustration example, so it's very rare for me to actually give this one. Growing up, my mum collected first day covers of stamps. Like, it always used to amaze us, think, why would she want to do that? Stamps. First day covers. She collects them right from primary school all the way through secondary school. And then I left to go to university, and I just kind of visited home every now and again until she got Alzheimer's, and then she passed away. And when she passed away, I was, you know, part of packing things up and that thing, where's the first day covers gone, right? Someone had stolen them. And I'm talking about thousands of pounds worth of first day covers, because that's what happens to the elderly. It's because they're vulnerable. They're open to abuse, and abusers circle the elderly. It's a shocking thing. And so every one of the first day covers had gone. And so she passed away, and part of whatever that was in inheritance just disappeared. I don't know what it's worth, but can I say that faith that's been stolen from you is worth far more than a packet of stamps. Some of you ought to get alarmed with the right stuff instead of alarmed over the wrong stuff. It's only first day covers. I didn't cry because it's only paper. I'd cry if it was faith. And something's trying to steal or mask or suppress your faith. And it's called discouragement. It's called doubt. It's called deception. It's called discouragement. It's called distraction. You've been distracted by smoke and mirrors, distracted by all kinds of worldly worries while your faith slips down the back of your settee. You think, I wonder why life's not going that well. It's because you haven't got the winning ticket. You've forgotten about it. And for us to have a church that gets itself ready for revival, you're going to have to search high and low your house. You're going to have to meditate again over the Word of God. You're going to have to remember the promises that He spoke to you about. You're going to have to prize it. You're going to have to protect it. You're going to have to keep it close to your heart, because that's the ticket that opens the door to the grace of God. Number one, it's our tattoo. Number two, it accesses power. Number three, it's born in the Word. In Romans 10:17, it says this. It says, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. How do you get faith? Well, faith comes by meditating on the Word of God. Somewhere in the Word of God is a word of inspiration for you. Faith comes by the Word of God. Somehow we're neglecting the Word of God for the word of pop stars, for the word of our friends, for the word of our fields, for the word. You want to exchange it back again and prize the Word of God. You can't get away with not reading it, with not meditating upon it, with not thinking about it. You can't just live Sunday to Sunday relying upon my word. I can't impart faith to you. I can't lay hands on you and give you faith, because faith's original. It's got to come by an original word from God. You can't get it. You can't just confess it. It's got to come by originality as you soak yourself in the Word of God, not in Netflix. as you soak yourself in the Word of God. That's where faith's incubated. That's where faith comes from. How do you get this stuff? Through the Word of God. You've got to get yourself back to the Word of God. And as you do, faith will launch itself out from His Word. He'll inspire you. It'll land within your spirit. And then at the same time, God will put a pathway in your mind between two places that had never been attached as the crow flies, just as the river meanders. But now you know that you know. And your role is then to walk that pathway in your mind through walking the walk, talking the talk, thinking the thoughts, until that pathway gets wider and wider and wider and becomes a highway. When you've created a highway, God puts His trucks in, delivers supplies to new cities of habit. He changes the panorama of your mind. He starts to create ghost cities out of rejection. He blasts the railway tracks and the highways leading to the city of jealousy. He establishes the metropolis of love, the metropolis of love within your heart through everything that's transported on the engineering of your highways. You do the highways, God will do the transporting. But faith is a deposit in your heart, and faith is highways in the mind. This is what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't squeeze yourself in the pattern of this world's thinking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do you test drive the Maserati of the will of God? Well, through renewed thinking. What's renewed thinking? Where does it come from? It comes from the deposit of faith. It then renews your mind. This is a house in order. Can you see where I'm coming from here? I'm a fan of yours. I'm a fan of God's. If we can unite with a tidy house, a reinvented house, and God will see new wineskin ready. Tick. I'll now pour out the new wine. And lastly, faith means war. Whenever you rise up in faith, can I say this about the devil, right? The devil doesn't want to kill you. The devil's not really interested in my backsliding, really. Partially. He just wants to contain me. If he can contain me, he'll get the same old, same old, same old for the next 10 years. So Satan's not out to injure you or give you some deadly disease. He's out to contain you that you do not move from the lifestyle that you're currently living. Because the same lifestyle will create the same or similar results. So the moment you rise up in faith, you say, "How I'm going to be transformed by..." And Satan says, "No, you're not. I love you just the way you are." And then you copy that on Instagram, "I love me just the way I am." Well, you're an idiot. Because you're just mimicking what Satan just said to you. He loves you just the way you are. Come on. For we're about to be mega changed. We're about to be transformed through the renewing of our minds, so we can test drive the Maserati of His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Faith means war. Just put up with it. Whenever I rise up and come out from meditating on the Word of God with a new deposit of faith within me, all hell breaks loose. I'm used to it now. Just for a season, it's just there to, in the providence of God, it's there to test whether my faith is real or whether it's fake. 2 Peter, I think, says the testing of your faith is to prove that you are actually genuine and not just having an exciting day. Buckle down. Put on the helmet of salvation. Shod my feet with the gospel of peace. In other words, I'm going to continue to head in the right direction here. And put on the belt of truth, which is both the truth, the eternal truth of the Word of God, and honesty mixed together as an alloy. And then I'm going to put up the shield of faith. Some of you today who are weary of the battle, weary of the fight, you need a shield. To put up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is everything you believe in. You're going to stand behind it. You're going to confess it. You're not going to yell it to the highways and byways. You're going to confess it to your soul. Speak it to God. You're going to lift up the name of Jesus. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the fiery flames and fiery arrows of the evil one. How are you going to extinguish the stuff that's been thrown against you? Well, just, you don't have to. It's just what the shield of faith does. It extinguishes. Stop exposing yourself and tuck in behind faith and tuck in behind the Word of God and the words that God gives. Your attack, as Jen shared earlier, that we had no correspondence. I don't tell her what I'm about to preach because I feel inferior to Jen. It's spiritual. Can I say this about people? Most people are innocent. They're just often used by a very guilty spirit. But generally, they're innocent. No one's come up to me and say, I'm used of the devil, Dave. I've never heard that expression once. It's spiritual, your battle. They're fiery darts from a darkened corner of the fourth dimension. And you need to cling to the Word of God. While all hell breaks loose, it's only seasonal, to allow God to protect you. Or to come back into word and worship. It's not just a Sunday morning performance, this, and come back into faith and thanksgiving. Stop your aggression. Faith moves mountains. You and faith. You and God. And if people desert you, don't panic. Don't panic. Your life is not a popularity contest. Your life is a praise contest. We're here to praise God. Live a right life, a strong life in Christ. I want you to come tonight. Fantastic blessings. And how to find them. Simon Taylor is an anointed man of God. He's from the Hit Factory. He's going to be known from generation to generation. But that opportunity is open to every one of you in this room. It's at 5 p.m. tonight. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for each person in this room right now. Come on, lift your hands. Father, I pray that you just begin slowly to move some furniture. Some bags in the hallway that have been there for 3 or 4 months. It's time to move those bags. There's a carpet you trip over regularly just in your living room. It's time to go to Dun & Mill and buy yourself a new carpet. Stop tripping over the same old sins. Remove the carpet. Some of your table is a table for two. It ought to be a table for six. It ought to be a dinner party table for eight. Some of you need to build or buy a bigger tape. Some of you ought to open the curtains as you do to see the dust that falls from an unkept household, and to make a resolution: the just shall walk not by dust, but the just shall walk by faith. And Father, I pray, let all the eyes within this place be lifted heavenward. Bring in a spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving into this church like we've never, ever known it before. I pray instead of whinging about what isn't, we'd praise you for what is, and we'd thank you for the winning ticket that you placed in the pocket within our hearts. Father, let a happiness come upon us as we now pursue your purpose, not a worldly pleasure, but your purpose of eternal gains. I pray that we wouldn't store for ourselves, when it comes to the dream offering, riches on earth, but we'd store for ourselves riches in heaven. I pray that you'd usher in a mercy spirit that would be unbelievable. But Lord, faith precedes mercy. And Father God, I pray, bring faith in and make us strong in your word. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.